Flavia Agnes is a noted Catholic women's lawyer and rights activist who co-founded the Majlis Legal Center in Mumbai, India, that campaigns for and provides legal aid to vulnerable women and children, focusing specially on domestic and sexual violence. Herself a victim of a violent and abusive marriage for 13 years, she fought for her rights in the courts and then used this experience to help other women in similar situations, qualifying herself as a lawyer. Flavia, who participated in the annual Voices of Faith Forum in the Vatican on the occasion of Women's Day, 8th March, spoke to Vatican Radio about her efforts to bring women's rights to the forefront of India's legal system and in the Catholic Church. She also explained how the Church should change its attitude and approach to women and their issues. She said, "Much has changed in society and in the Church, but there is still a long way to go." Flavia first talked about the Majlis Legal Center.
That was founded in 1991. So now today we are 25 years old. And the motive of that, at least from the legal side, was to provide access to justice to women. Because we have all the laws in place, but women do not know how to access them. They're scared of police, they're scared of lawyers. So the intention was that since I had my own experience of dealing with the case and approaching the courts, and also by then I had become a lawyer, to use my skills as a lawyer to help other women to reach the courts, particularly in cases of domestic violence. Much later, we started the Sexual Violence Project, basically to help women to get their rights, right of residence, right of maintenance, right of divorce, right of child custody, etc., through the litigation process.
How many women have benefited from your services so far?
Roughly figure of 50,000 women whom we have been able to reach out in Mumbai and in the districts surrounding Mumbai, in other districts as well. Because we have a program called District Lawyer Training Program. That means women lawyers, so that they also litigate for women. So it's spreading. All of them together, we have been able to reach out to about 50,000 women.
Now, there must be a sort of a turning point, must have been a turning point in your life that made you go for this women's rights and their dignity.
I was raised Roman Catholic, but when I got married, and it was an arranged marriage, and then when there was so much of domestic violence, so much of physical violence, I didn't know where to turn to, and I wanted a way out of this. But every time you're told that this is your destiny, this is what is ordained for you, and you have to suffer in silence. And the violence was like very acute, and I had 3 children in this violent marriage. And somehow I felt deep down that this is not what is ordained for me. And somehow I need to change this. Because if you respect yourself, you respect your bodily integrity, then you have to work towards a situation where you're not humiliated, where your dignity is not violated. And more important than that, you had to leave a message to your children that this is not the norm. This brutality, violence within marriage, that women will suffer in silence and men will do whatever they want, is not the order of the nature. This is not the order of the Church. So I had to break that cycle of violence from one generation to the other.
When you grew up as a child, you never faced violence of this type, and this first time you came across.
Yeah, I was raised by my aunt in Mangalore, and she was a spinster. And I was raised with a lot of love. And I went to a girls' school, St. Agnes Convent, and I was loved by my teachers. And I had like experienced so much love in my growing up years that when I got married, I could not believe that this can happen to me. So when I got married and they said, you know, humiliation is part of marriage and violence is part of marriage, I could not believe it is happening to me. But there was no way out. My mother was very progressive, but she also did not know what to do, because it's a community that sort of keeps you fixed in certain molds. I tried many ways of changing this equation, and it just didn't work. Then finally, in 1980, there was a women's movement started in a small way in Mumbai. So I was able to connect with that movement, which the women in that group affirmed my faith that this is not the order of the day, and you must break free. So it was the confidence that they gave me that helped me to break away from my marriage. When you see that, you know, cruelty is not a ground for divorce and the Church does not recognize domestic violence, for me it came as such a big shock. And then I tried to fight a civil case, but there also you realize that even the civil law that is applicable to Christians, that is the Indian Divorce Act, does not recognize cruelty as a ground for divorce. So all you can get is a judicial separation. So after I became a lawyer, my biggest achievement was to work with other women to change the law.
And you became a lawyer to fight your own case?
I became a lawyer to help other women who are similarly placed. Even before I became a lawyer, because of my own case, I had so much experience of the courts. The degree doesn't give you that experience. It's fighting your own case in the court and how you evolve strategies, what can help, what doesn't help. And most of the time when the male lawyers guide you, they do not understand exactly what you have to do or what you want to do with your particular case. So I felt that, you know, with my knowledge and with my experience, if I become a lawyer, it will help a lot of women.
After you went through that traumatic experience, both from the side of civil society as well as the church's indifference, did you lose your faith in God or in the church?
I did lose my faith in church, but not in God. I felt that God was directing me, God was guiding me at every step. I had very deep faith, like from my childhood, and very deep Christian values. But I thought what church was doing was not right. You know, the institutionalized church, it's got a lot of fanfare, it's got a lot of grandeur. But actually, there's no space for women and what women feel. And I felt that I need to set it right. But in order to set it right, you had to, like, go to the state, but also you had to go to the church, because if the church did not agree, the state would not do it. So I negotiated with the CBCI. I worked in different bodies to get this approval for the changes, and very slight changes, to say cruelty to women is a ground for divorce in the state law, not in the church law. I'm not even talking about church law. Very, very small changes, that mutual consent divorce is acceptable, that two people can agree to divorce without so much acrimony and without telling lies in court. So that got approved. So these are very small changes, but they were very significant for women. So in 2001, we got the law changed, and that was a big victory.
Apart from these legal changes that came about, do you find the church more humane now than what it was in the 80s?
It definitely is. And it's, I think, people like me who have spoken out about what's happening in the church that the church had to listen and be much more compassionate. I get a lot of my clients from church, but they still have to get a civil divorce, even if the church annuls the marriage. Earlier, many people did not know that, but now the church, at least in Mumbai, is much more aware. So I get a lot of clients referred by the church. And I work quite closely with the people at the tribunal about women's rights. We also speak to a lot of priests and seminarians about women's rights. And more recently, my work has been on issues of sexual abuse. And in that, we've got victims who've been abused by priests, extremely vulnerable girls. And I have taken up cases of such women to the church authorities. And I live in Mumbai, where Cardinal is Oswald Gracious. And we have gone and met him personally, not only to address these particular cases, transfer the concerned priest, conduct an inquiry, which is required by the law, but the church has been ignoring this. So we've been prevailing upon Cardinal to have a policy for protection of vulnerable adults. Personally, I meet Cardinal very often about these concerns. And I tell him what is happening and what are the feelings of women and how he needs to hear women's voices and respond to them.
Are you also involved with the church at the national level, CBCI?
I'm not at the level of CBCI myself, but when we brought the changes in the Christian divorce law, I was interacting with CBCI. CBCI has a women's desk. And in that women's desk, there are some very powerful women. And I've been negotiating and coordinating with those women at the women's desk when we worked on various changes. Today, the church, I find, is much more open than even it was in the 1980s. And the change is most welcome. But still, there's so much more needs to be done so that women feel much more secure. That's one thing. And secondly, I feel the priests have so much power in their parishes, and particularly parishes which are rural. And church becomes the rallying point for vulnerable Christian women, men and women. And then the power is unaccounted for. So in holding that power, it is very easy to abuse that power and to exploit vulnerable people. And then in one of my cases, these were very vulnerable girls and they were orphans. And the priest would tell them that this is the will of God. God is working through me. And what is that victim supposed to do? How is she supposed to understand what is happening to her? People will think all priests are like this. And that is harming, will harm the church much more. People in authority, like the bishops and cardinals, need to speak out and say, we condemn this. And the priest cannot do this.
In this regard, do you find Pope Francis is going in the right direction?
Yes, I very much think Pope Francis is going in the right direction. His love for the poor, his love for women, his message of peace, his welcoming of people with various sexual orientation, I think it's sort of bringing in a breath of fresh air in the church.
That was Flavia Agnes, the Catholic women's lawyer, rights activist, and co-founder of the Majlis Legal Center in Mumbai, India. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.